there you have it. Man, let's go ahead and hit them with the some sort of trigger, some sort of warning. WineCellarMedia.com, William J. Jackson, pre-recording this episode. Phoenix Kaleeder cannot make it on this one. She's tired. This is one of those times when her histoplasmosis pain is flaring up, and she's tired and in pain, and she needs to rest. She's in the bathroom washing up now, and she needs to lie down and rest. And no live broadcast, just a straight into the RSS feed, record and upload. Right. So what the holy heck darn do we have going on here? Again, one more time as we go into the 60-second mark for the program, trigger and warning, right? Shit is hardcore, shit is rough, shit is real. If you follow me in the Facebooks, if you go to facebook.com/winecellarpodcast, and that'll be William J. Jackson, you can see my updates on what it's like being back in warehousing. It's funny, it interesting, it's goofy stuff. And what we have going on right now, the Socialize the Justice Project is coming. Which is just me rapping, right? Instead of me rapping a little bit and then podcasting a lot, it'll just be a full project of nothing but rapping. You could call it an album, sure, go ahead, go for it. But, you know, I mean, do we really have a culture with albums anymore? I think we really just have tracks. Like, once we hit that point where that really whack rapper, Soulja Boy, when it was like big news that like he got rich off of iTunes sales of one of his records, it was like it's tracks now. It was heading in that direction, but that was like it's kind of like when you're going up the hill, and then you're at the top of the hill, and then it's just like, and then he comes along when it's at the top of the hill, and it's like time to go down the other side, and boom, you know, and just took us down to the, and now we are in the bottom of that hill where we just live like in a culture where it's tracks. Albums need not apply anymore. And I just resent Rashani a beat for that. Like the actual name of the track is going to be Single Simulcast. So that'll be a fun old time, you know, for that project. All right, so what the heck do we have here? A school shooting for white-on-white crime. And that's not funny white-on-white crime. This one's kind of serious. Drone thugs in Harmony. We've got Meanwhile in Florida, the big Arby's heist. We have a conclusion in the bar mitzvah flasher scandal. We have 16 creepy ads from people on Craigslist. We might not go through all 16. See what happens. And that'll be the deal. And then Phoenix Kaleeder has some like real serious bad news locked away. If we should so get to that, right. So let's and my niece wants folks to toss up a prayer. If you're Christian, Muslim, in any of those deals, if you get your prayer on and you get your religion on, my niece getting her gallbladder removed, she would like for you to toss up a prayer. I am the greatest black atheist. I don't pray, but yeah, I'm not gonna like trip on you if you do. Like, yo, nigga, you better not motherfucking pray, cuz nah, nigga, go for it. And she would like that as well. Right. Now, so, shooting, because America, but it's not the kind of shooting, it's not worthy of making the news anymore, you know, like the big news. It's just not the big deal anymore. So, WineCellarMedia.com, information coming from the AP, shooting gunman shot a teacher and two young boys, and one of them was critically wounded, so could die, don't know, might happen, let's see. And another was, one was critically wounded and one was shot and a teacher was shot. And it was at an elementary school in rural South Carolina on Wednesday this week, today. And his father was later found shot to death in his home nearby. Now, the suspect, who officials said was homeschooled, was taken into custody without incident on school grounds shortly after authorities were called to the Townville Elementary School at 1:45 p.m. All right, so, and they were contacted by a teacher saying an armed man was on the property. Quote, "We feel confident that we have the sole shooter, that no one else is involved, and the community is not in danger at this point." That's a quote from Captain Garland Major, the chief investigator. Now, one of the boys, identified as Jacob Hall, that's the one who's in critical condition. And he's at the Gainesville Health System Children's Hospital. And his age and other details are not provided. A teacher, a woman, and the other boy, they were treated and released from another hospital. The school in Townville in Anderson County is about 35 miles southwest of Greenville. Got about 280 students from pre-kindergarten to grade 6. The attacker was armed with a handgun and shot all of his victims on the playground. The deputy chief said he was subdued by Jamie Brock, who he's a cop who was able to not kill somebody and arrest him. You know. And so shortly after the shooting, authorities got the 911 call that a man had been shot dead about 2 miles away. And the victim there is Jeffrey DeWitt. Jeffrey DeWitt Osborne, he's a 47-year-old individual, and he turned out to be the gunman's father. All right. Now, authorities didn't say whether Osborne was shot by his son, adding that the relevance of Osborne's death remained under investigation. Like I said this before in a previous episode, they just like the word investigation, right? So you're think of what they're telling you. They're saying we're investigating relevance. Like, does somebody have the relevance charts and graphs? Right? Somebody has the relevance relivmograph, right? The relavimator. Get the fuck out of here. And the school was swarmed by rescue workers, frantic parents, fighting tears, you know, and homie Jamie Meredith said, "I just pray for those families. I pray for those kids." And as she was reunited with her daughter, she said, "I'm just so scared. I don't even want her to go to school now." And you probably don't want her to go to school. It's full of recently graduated from college SJW teachers that are gonna, you know, telling her about Marxism and feminism and whatnot. So you probably do want to homeschool your kid to save her from... Well, I'm getting way off topic. It's fucked up. People shouldn't be getting shot. Stop shooting niggas, white people. White on white crime is a problem. All right, let's dance it on over to the LGBT news update. See what the holy heck darn is going on over there.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Wednesday, September 28th, 2016. First up, big gay news from Mexico. Four Mexican priests outed by gay marriage activists. The Telegraph reports that it felt like Mexico's fight for gay marriage was over, with same-sex marriage couples winning the de facto right to marry. But as opposition mounts, some LGBT activists are stepping up the heat on their foes in the Catholic Church. The group, known as National Pride Front, released the names of the priests that they claim are in homosexual relationships the day before a large march against gay marriage was to be held. Christian Galarza, one of the organizers of the group, defended its actions, saying that everyone deserves the right to be in the closet. But when you come out and condemn homosexuality, condemn gay marriage, and try to influence a secular state, you've lost the right to the closet. Not all GLBT groups agree with that approach. Enrique Torre Molina, campaign manager for the GLBT rights group All Out, condemned the outing of the priests, saying that by doing so, National Pride Front is ultimately using someone's sexual orientation as a tool against that person, which is exactly what the LGBT movement is not about. Next up, Out of the Blue a cappella group releases a single mashup to support Helen and Douglas House. Out of the Blue, Oxford's internationally recognized all-male a cappella group, has just released a sultry cover of Into You as their latest charity single to benefit Helen and Douglas House Hospice for Children and Young Adults. Proceeds from Out of the Blue's newest single will be donated to the Helen and Douglas House, the first hospice in the world dedicated to children, which provides exceptional care and support to terminally ill children and young adults, as well as support for their families. Out of the Blue has supported the charity, which relies almost solely on donations for their two hospice houses, for at least the last 8 years. Next up, Canadian high school football team recruits its first transgender player. GayStar News reports that the boys' football team of Halifax West High School in Halifax, Nova Scotia, now has its first transgender student player, Kennedy Cooley. The 17-year-old senior had transferred into the school but was reluctant to try out for the football team due to his being transgender, but soon found out that the other members of the team and coaching staff fully supported and accepted him. Cooley said that it was a great relief to be treated equally, as his experience as a transgender student at his previous school was one of loneliness and being unaccepted, something that he says has not been an issue at Halifax West. For our final story, Mayor of London reforms gender options to recognize people who aren't male or female. Pink News reports that the Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has confirmed that the city is preparing to reform City Hall's gender options to recognize transgender and intersex people. After the issue of the only two gender specifications being male and female was raised by Sean Barry of the Green Party, Mayor Khan said that City Hall would be changing the reforms to be more inclusive, although much of the change may be delayed due to ongoing deliberations surrounding national data collection. National data collection is handled by the Office of National Statistics, which is not due to test new wording for gender identification until 2017, with plans to include it on the 2021 census. That's it for today. Thank you to Shane Luke and Linda Rains for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
All right, so while that break was coming through, something came across my feed, and apparently the comedy heads over there at the Jimmy Dore show, he has this cat Mike McRae that does impressions, and his latest one is an impression of Bernie Sanders. And let's just go ahead and check that out. Let's just throw that into the program. Completely unplanned. This was not part of the show prep. I just came across this because I follow someone called Ankfeed on the social networks. And not Ankh like the religious symbol, but just like that's A-N-Q. I don't know if that's their name, if that's their publishing media. I don't know. I just know that like during the Democratic primary, this was one of the people I came across, and I clicked follow, and I like the content they put up, or content they share mostly. All right, here we go. Let's check this out. It's impressionist Mike McRae doing his latest Bernie Sanders. Phoenix Cleaver's over there breaking stuff.
No, I can't bring myself to give my vote to either one of the major political parties that are both bought by the military-industrial complex, Big Pharma, Wall Street, and the fossil fuel industry. We're going to get more war no matter who we vote for, and it's not clear which one will bring even more war, all right? So people are using the argument that I need to vote for it. I need to vote for more neoliberalism. And you know what I say? I say Trump isn't the problem. Trump is a symptom of 40 years of neoliberalism. Trump is the result of it. And if we vote for neoliberalism again, the next Trump is going to be even worse. Maybe it will be somebody who's just as evil as Trump or even more, who isn't a maniac on the outside and isn't an incompetent. Imagine if Ted Cruz was the Republican nominee. That guy could get evil done. So I'm telling you, and there's a reason why you can't, as half the country is considered poor in poverty, and Hillary Clinton still can't get them to vote for her. Why? Because they know She offers them nothing. So people say, well, even Bernie Sanders is supporting Hillary Clinton, that somehow I'm such a maniac. I'm so outside. I should be disqualified from talking about this, about politics, because I'm literally not willing to support a Democrat or a Republican in 2016. That's what I've been told. So here's Bernie Sanders. They go, even Bernie, you're more pure. They love to use that word, pure. Pure. Yeah, and guess what? Anyway, here we go. Here's what Bernie had to say about it. People forget Bernie talked about this. Here's what Bernie said about it.
So first, I'd want to say, as a student, I'm very excited to be voting for the first time tomorrow for you. So thank you. My question is, many of your supporters are staunchly opposed to Hillary Clinton and are considering writing you in, voting for a third party candidate, or not voting at all if you don't win the nomination. I believe you will win the nomination and the presidency, but if you don't, will you encourage your supporters to vote for Secretary Clinton?
Dave, thanks for the question. And let me answer it in this way.
So the question is, let me recap. The question is, if you don't win the primary, will you urge your voters, your supporters, to vote for Secretary Clinton? And here's what Bernie Sanders said to that exact question. We have the answer, what he really wants us to do. Here it is.
First, I think it is, you know, we're not a movement where I can snap my fingers and say to you or to anybody else what you should do, because you won't listen to me. You shouldn't. You'll make these decisions yourself. I think if we end up losing, and I hope we do not, and if Secretary Clinton wins, it is incumbent upon her to tell millions of people who right now do not believe in establishment politics or establishment economics, who have serious misgivings about a candidate who is to receive millions of dollars from Wall Street and other special interest. She has got to go out to you and to millions of other people and say, yeah, I think the United States should join the rest of the industrialized world and take on the private insurance companies and the greed of the drug companies and pass a Medicare for all. I think that, says Secretary Clinton, that for the young people in this country, you should not have to leave college $30,000, $50,000, $70,000 in debt, because we're going to make, as many other countries around the world do, public colleges and universities tuition-free. I think Secretary Clinton is going to have to explain to millions of young people and a lot of other people that climate change is a real crisis and incrementalism is just not going to solve it. That's... And she is going to have to come on board and say, yeah, I know it's hard, but I am going to take on the fossil fuel industry and pass a carbon tax. So the point that I am making is, it is incumbent upon Secretary Clinton to reach out not only to my supporters, but to all of the American people with an agenda that they believe will represent the interest of working families, lower income people, the middle class, those of us who are concerned about the environment and not just big money interests.
And then she chose Tim Kaine.
Ha! Tim Kaine is right to work. Tim Kaine, yes, is for more deregulation of Wall Street.
Yes.
Tim Kaine is for more fracking. Yes. Tim Kaine is pro-TPP. So yes. After Bernie said that, that's what she has to go to do. Remember, this, remember, it's incumbent on him. And I've said that too. It's up to Hillary Clinton to come get your vote. She's the winner in the primary. She has to come over to Bernie Sanders supporters and make them come on board. It's up to her. She's the one who... Bernie doesn't need them anymore. She needs them. And what did she do? She did nothing. She went the other way. She's been trying to court Republicans ever since. Ever since she beat him in the primary, she's been courting Republicans, which is a mistake because she can't... You're not going to beat Republicans by trying to get other Republicans to vote for Democrats. It's not going to, especially you, the most hated Democrat in the frickin' country. Why not just go after your base? Go after the people that Barack Obama went after. Go after the people. Go get them. And, you know, if Ralph Nader could cost anybody an election, you think you'd want to go campaign with them. If he cost Al Gore the election before, maybe you make sure that guy can. That means he can win you an election. Why wouldn't you go campaign with them? So Bernie Sanders already said, you shouldn't listen to me. You should make up your own mind. That's what he really believes. And that's what I'm doing.
That's why in this election, you're going to be voting for the lesser of four evils.
All right, so that actually was not the Mike McCray impression. That was just straight up Sanders. But I'm going to let that stand in this episode of White on White Crime. All right, so as we dance it forward, going on back to WineCellarMedia.com. We like to do news over there. Let's do another white on white crime before we get to some other stuff. excuse me. So this here woman. Now she was down at the at a bar mitzvah, and she was like, "Y'all boys need to come on over here and look at my teddies." That's what she said. That's how she said it too. She said, "Y'all need to look at my teddies," and then she showed the young fellas her teddies, and then she was like, "Y'all won't touch them." And then they was like, "Hell yeah, we's teenage boys. Of course we won't touch your boobies, ma'am." And they went on ahead and did that. And then she done got herself arrested for that there, because you ain't supposed to do that. You ain't supposed to be going to no dat-gum bar mitzvahs and pulling out your titty swingers and then showing them to the young fellas and being like, "Y'all won't touch them," and then they get to touching on them. That ain't right. Jesus would not approve. All right. Now there's a there's an update on that story. Because they went to court.
The jury find the defendant, Lindsay Ann Adamski, not guilty of violation, ARS 13-1402A. Count two, we the jury find the defendant, Lindsay Ann Adamski, not guilty.
18 times not guilty, Lindsay Radomski broke down in court, hugging her attorney.
"I'm just incredibly happy it's over. Thank God."
This might be the longest trial that's ever taken place in a misdemeanor court.
7 months in a courthouse that usually decides things like DUIs and parking tickets. Radomski was accused of exposing herself to a group of underage boys at a bar mitzvah party, then letting those boys touch her breasts. The case got complicated when it came out that the boys' parents had paid for her breast implants. And Radomski claimed she was drugged that night and doesn't remember any of it. Last year, one of the boys' parents told 12 News Radomski was a close friend.
"Each of them knew her and knew what she meant to our family. They were just as shocked and devastated as we are."
A grand jury would not indict Radomski, but the Scottsdale City prosecutor filed lesser charges. In court, Radomski's lawyer told the jury the boys had attacked her.
"We believe that the boys went in that room and touched Lindsay, fondled her breasts without her permission. Things that one of the boys did, I cannot even repeat on national TV."
Radomski left court a free woman, but one with a highly publicized case attached to her name. Her lawyer said her next step is to go back to her life.
"She still works as a yoga instructor. She's still a trainer. She's still loved by the community. And she has a family that loves her and friends that support her."
Okay, so the way that one ended up is that could be a rape culture story. But you see, and that's the thing with these middle-class, upper-middle-class, white, suburban communities, you never really find out the real truth with these people, right? Until, like, somebody finds a diary, like, 78 years later. Right? Like, you never know. You know, I mean, with social media, you got a lot of goofy people telling on themselves live and in the moment. But for the most part, like, white culture is lies and secrecy. So who fucking knows, right? I never know with these folks. All right, so still going on with WineCellarMedia.com. Let's keep it with the white on white. This is more white on white creepy than it is white on white crime. And then after this, we'll go ahead and take ourselves another little breaky-poo. And then we'll swing it back, bring it back with some other whatnot, what have you. And then we'll wrap up this program. So some ads on Craigslist from people who are offering quote-unquote free rooms. So going on over to North London, a person said, I am offering rent-free accommodations in my flat in Enfield Lock for a girl. I am a kind, friendly, and considerate 26-year-old guy. The flat has a double bedroom, living room, bathroom, and kitchen with new fridge and freezer, cooker, and washing machine. There is also a storeroom as well. I would expect a relationship in lieu of rent. I am being completely and honest and upfront about my intentions. If you are interested, please send me an email with information about yourself. Age, height, nationality, occupation, etc. And at least two clear photos of yourself. Provide a private email or telephone number as well. All right. That sounded like a safe place to go. And on over to Archway, free room share. Huge double room in a flat in Archway, North London. Very nice and quiet area. All bills inclusive. Free. Wanted, an open-minded single female of any age to share with a single male. This one, Older Indian gent offers free short-term room share in lovely residential area of Northwest London, 2 minutes from Tube Station, to a broad-minded female. Asians, welcome. I will then help you find a more long-term accommodation as I am in the lettings business. Age, marital status, immaterial, but must be a non-smoker. Yes, you will be sharing the room with me. Young-looking 66-year-old, 5'8", well-educated professional, pleasant face and manner. Did he just describe what he thinks of himself? All right. So, according to him, he has a pleasant face. Not everybody, but... This one is in Wood Green. I'm a 28-year-old male, English mixed race. I have a largish house, which I can accommodate. If you need somewhere to sleep in a nice warm house, I can offer you my sofa or my bed accommodation. Just need help with cooking and cleaning. It's a good location in North London, Wood Green, next to the Tube. Girls only. Must be sexy and open-minded. Anthony. Alright, watch the fuck out for Anthony. That's a wild motherfucker, man. Let's skibby flibby do. Alright, what's going on with this one? It looks like almost all of these are in London. Offering a room in my house and free use of shared facilities for a woman housemate willing to carry out household chores naked or in sexy lingerie. This will be the extent of your obligations, and nothing else will be expected or asked in return. You get a free en-suite double bedroom in my house, and free use of shared living room, kitchen, diner, and all facilities. You will be responsible for all housework and chores, vacuum, duster, washing up dishes, cleaning, etc. No cooking required, which will be carried out according to a schedule that we will set between us. Alright. This one, not a lot going on here. I have a flat in Hammersmith for adult parties and couples to use for sex, etc. No fee. Great. Yeah. And there's more of these. That's all the way up to number 7. And we're going into 30 minutes into this episode. And so let's go ahead and take ourselves to another break. You can see the rest of those at winecellarmedia.com under the White on White Crime tag.
Reverend Edward Pinckney calling from Muskegon Prison, a little bit closer to my home. Just recently, on September the 6th, the Supreme Court once again ruled against me and denied my appeal bond. We continue to file and try to go into the federal courts now because there's no reason, no excuse for what is going on here in the state of Michigan. I will continue to fight this battle because it is true that the blindfolded lady with the scales for justice do not exist no longer. The hypocrisy of the state of Michigan, not only the Court of Appeals, but also the Supreme Court, has no limit. I will continue to fight this battle at all costs. We are looking forward to a decision shortly on the question of whether I'm going to be released, period, within the next 3 or 4 months. We just want people to know and understand that we continue to keep fighting this fight. We got to continue to keep fighting this battle. We have to say and stand up to the people and say enough is enough. We have to tell the truth about what's going on. Any time that you could be sent to prison with exactly no evidence, and the judge and the prosecutor both say that we don't need evidence to send the Reverend Edward Pinckney to prison, then we have a problem, a major problem. And it's going to take everybody to stand up and fight this, because you could be next. So prepare yourself for what's going on, not only in the state of Michigan, but around the country. So prepare yourself, because it's time that the people took a stand and say no more. We cannot continue with the way this government is being ran. It's going to get worse before it gets better. The system itself is rigged from the top to the bottom. The Court of Appeal, 3 judges, we call them the 3 blind mice, for the simple reason they also stated that they were not interested in the evidence itself. So we, the people, must understand that if you're walking down the street, if the cops pull you over and take you to jail, you could be convicted and end up in prison. So let's say enough is enough. Let's stand up for what's right and let's stand together. It doesn't make a difference whether you're black, white, brown, yellow, red, whatever. We must stand together and fight together. Reverend Edward Pinckney from Muskegon Prison in Michigan.
Yeah, that was Edward Pinckney on for Prison Radio. And I'll tell you what, man, I am way back when I was really kind of just getting it started with the using social media and creating these broadcasts and podcasts. I had shared the Reverend Edward Pinckney story, and I was mostly interacting with and being followed by black atheists, and they just saw the word Reverend and said, he's just a huckster. But it's like, nah, like, he's a political prisoner. Like, he's in prison. They call it election fraud when really he just called for a recall, you know, on a phony election because, you know, it was fucked up and it was corporatized and bought and sold. And so he called for that recall and got dumped in prison for it, you know, years ago. But, you know, because he had the word Reverend in front of his name, you know, the black atheists that followed me were just like, fuck that guy. You know, and it's like, and he's still a political prisoner. So, you know, I mean, nigga, fall back with that weak shit. Like, just beefing with niggas for that goofy-ass reason. That's silly. All right, dancing it forward. Drone Thugs in Harmony on WineCellarMedia.com. It's a very short story, So apparently Bone Thugs is still performing, but what I don't know, see, and I mean, I guess I'd like to see them perform, and I think I'd like to see them perform. I think, well, let's just toss out the reasons off the top of my head. One, I'm guessing that they'd probably be doing older songs because those would be the most recognized. And the crowd would interact with the most. That's what I'm guessing. Which means those would be songs I actually like. And then also, that means they're older songs. So older people my age and up are going to be the ones in the crowd, and we're not rowdy. We have manners, right? Like, we're fucking, you know, like, we're in our 30s and 40s. Like, we're not here to goof around like that. Like, we're here to, like, everybody just chill out and bone, 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 bone. But, so, but while performing, Flesh and Bone, which it's great to see him out of prison, you know, like, that was not something we saw too often in their heyday, if you will. And, so Flesh and Bone's performing, and a gosh darn, you know, a little drone device came by and just ran right the hell on into his dadgum face. And then, you know, he grabbed his head, but they did not stop the show or even the song. Like, they just kept rapping. Why? Because you gotta keep rapping even if you get hit with a drone, 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 drone. Tell me what you gonna do when the government comes up, when drones roll up on you, when drones roll up on you. All right. So, yeah, short story, fun story. And just, I guess it's dope to see Bone Thugs still mobbing with that schniz. Meanwhile, in Florida. a woman, she's facing robbery charges. I couldn't make this one white on white crime because I found the mugshot. And she is be a black woman. But she's facing robbery charges after it is said that she robbed an Arby's restaurant. As one ought to do if you are a Florida resident. Why not? I think you should. So she robbed an Arby's restaurant and then hailed a cab to get away. The Gainesville police report says that the 20-year-old Kishonte L. Taylor pointed a gun at a clerk on Sunday morning and demanded money. Authorities say that Taylor took more than $200 from three registers at the fast food restaurant. The Gainesville Sun, and there's a link to that at winecellarmedia.com, they report that Taylor hopped in a cab with police, which police stopped a couple of blocks away. Police say they recovered a gun and $219, which they really should not be reporting how much money is taken from the till, because other people that might want to make a quick grab know how much they can get and they can estimate if that's worth it in their dire circumstances. Taylor remains in custody in the Aleutia County Jail. Records don't indicate whether she's hired a lawyer. Nigga, what snarky motherfucker wrote that in the news article? Motherfucker, of course you didn't hire a lawyer, nigga. She just fucking damn near put in work for $219, and which a portion of that was gonna go to cab fare, nigga. All right, so to close up this episode, I think I want to go back a few days and go over my back in warehousing posts, because I am indeed back in warehousing and Facebook is being goofified. Alright, so to start it out, right, back in warehousing days 1 and 2. So we pull up and Phoenix wants food from the gut truck, because in a world that's fundamentally against you, why not do some damage yourself? The person who was supposed to do my orientation was on vacation, of course. The safety video reminded us not to wear jewelry, but they kept repeating it, replacing jewelry with bling. And you know why. I go into my first work area, where I only rock out for about 2.5 hours before I get put on a special job. I think we're forming a team to do some equipment maintenance. Cool. Nope. I'm in a room by myself, cleaning dust filters from the propane room, which really is great for an introvert. Now, the day wraps up from there, because that's just all I do for the rest of that day. Going into day 2, I'm assigned to one of the few workstations that isn't labeled. Well, yeah. The first 20 minutes, I'm responsible for standing in one place while the machine fails to operate. Interesting. So I'll just be the new black guy not doing anything. They get the machine working, but this thing is craptastic. My crew and I work through it anyway because capitalism. It's break time now. D'Anjou pears are juicy. And that's what I mean. Like, my first few days there, like, I've just been eating, cantaloupe and pears on the breaks. That's just been my break food. Now, day two continued. I'm on the predominantly Mexican shift, and for the second time, a white person tried to connect with me by dissing them. The first one was a white woman yelling at a man that was working too fast for her. Then she leans into me and says, "Whatever language he speaks." I share a smirk with him because we got hired together and I know he's bilingual and knows what she said. The second one was a white man that told me I need to make sure I let them know if I need to go to the bathroom or something because, quote, "We're the last ones they're gonna ask," end quote, while pointing his finger back and forth between us. As if there's some history or status quo of where white men and black men suffering side by side under the tyranny of a Mexican woman that earned her way into a management position. Toward the end of the shift, two of the women on my micro team started singing a song. A man from another floor came up to interrupt them and tried to get me to join him. No, I liked it. I was thinking about that sign that reads, 48 days without an incident, which is not impressive, when, crash, bang, and a masculine yell came from one of the rooms. On my way out, I noticed that the sign still read, 48 days. What in the hell is going on around here? All right. And let's go up to the next one. Warehousing day 3, which happens to be this day, Wednesday. I'm figuring out the routine. I clock in with my fingerprint. Weird. Today, the machine worked as it was supposed to. Even when we thought it was broke, the line just stopped because there was no inventory at the beginning of it. Why? Because Gringo just walked the fuck away for a while. I had 2.5 pallets of my inventory ready to rock. The boss of this particular project sees that and just helps herself to my shit for her mini station. Aight then. With one person replaced, I have a faster micro team than yesterday, and it's going very smooth. The sign still says 48 days now. They must be doing politician math. Day 3 continued. A pair of goggles rest near the toilet. Someone in management is going to toss those back in the bin for a new worker to use. I have my fiancé's goggles from home. There was a big holdup. No inventory, no forklift, no machine running. Why? Because we had to make sure to completely separate the items from different expiration dates. I dig that, but why was the separation between 420 and 421? Who is sending us a message? And what is it? Oh yes, it is better to slow down for 420 than to spend all day making garbage for the ownership class to profit. Right. And, wait, do I have a day 3? Yeah, that was day 3 continued. Okay, so, and in a few hours, we'll be going into day 4, and we'll see what the heck darn goes on, right? William J. Jackson, back in warehousing, winecellarmedia.com. Right, And don't forget Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice on the Facebooks. Also on the Facebooks, you can follow Reading in the Shade, which is Phoenix Kaleeder's page. Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeder. And you can go to patreon.com/winecellarmediafund for a monthly subscription of your choice, or paypal.me/phoenixandwilliam. Thanks for checking us out in the Wine Cellar, going on since 2012.